भगवद्गीता 2.5 गुरुनः त्वा हि महानुभावान् श्रेयो भोक्तुं भैक्ष्यमपि ह लोके हत्वार्थकामांस्तु गुरुनिहैव भुञ्जीय भोगान् रुधिर् प्रतिग्धान्. So Arjuna is continuing his counter argument to Arjuna to Krishna's point that that don't give up to emotional weakness. So he's saying it's not emotional weakness, it's you, it's an important dynastic consideration. And he's saying that if I kill my own guru, gurun ahatva, if I kill him, mahanubhavan, they're all great people. Shreyo, if rather than killing such great people like my guru, it is shreyo, it is better. Arjuna has used the word shreyo, nacha shreyo anupashyami. In 1.31, shreyo bhoktum bhikshyam apiha loke. So, bhoktum generally means to enjoy. So, the bhoktum bhikshyam is an oxymoronic juxtaposition of words. Better enjoy by begging. So, what is the enjoyment in begging, we may wonder. But the point is, he's driving home the reality that he may have to beg, but he's ready to accept that also. And even that is better, he says. Living by begging as a mendicant is better than living by killing one's relatives. Bhiksham api haloke ihaloke, in this world. Hatvartha kamams, if out of kama, purpose of fulfilling our desire, artha kama, the desire for wealth, hatva, if I kill them, gurun ihaiva. So artha kamams tu gurun ihaiva. So now, artha kamam in this context refers to the guru. Yes, Drona has sided with the Kurus because the Kurus provided them employment. And guru nihaiva. So although they are artha kamams, but still it doesn't matter, he's saying. Even if they are artha kamams, still they are worshipable. Bhunji yabhogan rudhir pradigdan. If we enjoy the spoils, bhunji yabhogan, what we will obtain after killing them, that will be Rudhir Pradigdan. That will be actually tainted by the blood of our loved ones. Rudhir Pradigdan, Rudhir. It's a very visually evocative language. So the point which Arjuna is making here is that actually, how can I enjoy the spoils which are tainted with the blood of my worshipable ones? Better to live by begging. So he's actually anticipating objections and trying to counter them at his level. So if he doesn't fight with his relatives, how may he live? So he says, okay, I'll live by begging. That is better, he's saying. So then another objection is that, oh, they are not gurus. You know, he has acted improperly. So actually Drona and Bhishma, just by remaining silent while Draupadi was being dishonored, they became culpable, and further by siding with the Kauravas also for monetary considerations, they have also become impious. You know, actually why Drona and Bhishma sided on the side of the Kauravas can seem sometimes mysterious. So at an external level, as is told in the Mahabharata, Bhishma says that, you know, everyone is the servant of money. I am also the servant of money. And it is money that has bound me to the Kauravas. Now, we may wonder, Bhishma is such a great soul. How can money bind him? Actually, that is the humility of Bhishma speaking. There are multiple reasons that bound Bhishma. One was that he had taken a vow that he will always protect the ruling king of the Kuru dynasty. And that happened to be Dhritarashtra Duryodhana at that time. And he was vow-bound to protect them. Further, Krishna wanted him to fight on the side of the Kauravas against the Pandavas so that the principle would be demonstrated that if a person, no matter how powerful that person may be, if he fights against Dharma, he will be defeated. And Drona, of course, when he was in great financial need, the Kuru rulers had supplied for him. And Ashwatthama had also become friendly with Duryodhana, primarily because both had shared an antipathy towards Arjuna. So Ashwatthama's affection with Duryodhana and Drona's financial obligation to the Kuru family, the Kuru rulers, both combined for the father-son pair to side on the to take the side of the Kauravas. So they were Arthakamams. Now those who are Guru Varga, they should be free from such material attachments. But if they are Arthakamam, then are they still Gurus? So Arjuna's assertion is, yes, they are still Gurus. Now, here the word Guru is used in a generic sense, not in a specific sense of Diksha Guru. Any person who teaches whatever, that person can be referred to as a Guru. So, here the Guru refers to Drona, who has actually helped in the, who has been the martial teacher. He was never the spiritual teacher of the Pandavas. The Pandavas had Dhaumya as their priest, and Drona as their martial teacher. But any kind of teacher deserves respect, and especially the Pandavas had an intimate relationship with Drona because they had been his favorite students, and they had learned so much from him. So the Mahabharata also says, Guru Avaliptasya, that if the Guru acts in an improper way, then the Guru can also be abandoned. So to some extent that applied to Drona, and he could have been abandoned or rejected. But Arjuna is not thinking like that. And he's saying that Rudhir Pratikdhan, the Bhunjiya Bhokan, whatever we enjoy will be actually tainted by blood, and therefore we cannot do this. I cannot fight in this war. So Arjuna's dilemma is understandable. What can a person do when is pitted against those whom one respects and loves and adores? At the same time, life sometimes calls for hard decisions, and hard decisions need to be taken unsentimentally. So Arjuna is unable to do that, and that is what that unwillingness to put aside sentimentality is what Krishna is reproaching, and to give him the strength to give up the sentimentality, Krishna will introduce proper spirituality. Spiritual knowledge of the soul, and ultimately the soul's relationship with Krishna, and the spiritual emotions, this transcendental sentimentality, sentiments, sentience that is there at the spiritual level. So in this world, relationships don't stay frozen. So relationships are dynamic, and one may have a lot of respect for somebody. But then, while we are grateful for whatever that person has done to help us, we cannot assume that, you know, that person is going to stay the same or similarly exalted all the time. And we cannot unquestioningly respect a person for all time to come. In India, there is a culture of respecting sadhus. So many people abuse that cultural respect, and they take on the robes and the garb and the appearance of a sadhu, and then they fleece people. So a person's conduct has to be seen to actually decide whether that person is worthy of being respected and followed. And without seeing the conduct, undiscerning respect can actually backfire. And many godmen are worshipped by millions of followers as they are incarnations of God, as if they are. And then they end up misleading people in many terrible ways. So it's important that we consider properly whom we offer respect, and whether that person is worthy of offering respect. And although for Arjuna the decision is not easy, but hard decisions have to be taken to avoid harder consequences which may come up otherwise. this does. If you find that a doctor has helped us earlier, but now later the same doctor is incompetent. The doctor is no longer able to cure me. Now, it's not that we hate the doctor anymore, but it's just that we focus on, I want to be cured. And if the doctor is not able to cure me, if the doctor is himself or herself falling sick, then how can I expect to be cured by that doctor? So, and that sickness is not just incidental, but it is actually because of some ignorance or negligence or was still maleficence on the part of the doctor. So that means there are multiple possibilities here. One is, a person was never spiritual and is demanding respect. Such a person should not be accepted as a spiritual authority. Another is, a person has good qualities but is not a serious spiritualist, just offering some mundane advice. Such a person may be respected as a mundane teacher but not as a spiritual teacher. And someone else who was a spiritual teacher in good standing but later slipped. So now, is it our position to judge others? No, but it is definitely our position to discern, to discriminate using our God-given intelligence. So the mood is not that we stand as a judge above others to evaluate their moral character, but rather we recognize that we are patients and we need to be treated. And for spiritual treatment, it's not just a matter of just putting in some medicine into the mouth. It's a matter of being inspired to live a particular kind of life. And we need inspirations to be able to live that kind of life. And the spiritual master is one of the primary inspirers. So we focus on who inspires us and we take guidance from them and move on our spiritual life. And if somebody who inspired us earlier, who guided us earlier, is now not having proper conduct, so then we may keep a distance and seek inspiration from elsewhere. And if a person falls to grievous misconduct, then one may have to actually take shelter or guidance from another person. Generally, reinitiation is not required in the Vaishnava culture if one has taken initiation from a Vaishnava guru. But if there is a nominal initiation from some like a Karmakandi guru, then one can always take a reinitiation from a Vaishnava. But in general, this is a painful predicament that devotees go, that seekers may have to go through. And although it's painful, following a person who is gone on the wrong track may take us further on the wrong track. So hard choices have to be made to avoid harder consequences. So Arjuna, if he doesn't fight, then there'll be harder consequences for him and for the kingdom at large, because the vicious Duryodhana will keep ruling and the Pandavas will get sinful reactions for having neglected their duty. And all the subtleties of the choosing the right course of action will be illumined in the Bhagavad Gita as it moves forward. Thank you.